The worst advice you can give your kids is stop being you.
Welcome to the Spartan Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast with host Johnny Waite.
Spartans, welcome back to the Endurance Series. This is Ryan Warner. I'm typically the host of the Combat Series, but today I'm interviewing Johnny Waite. This one's all about parenting. We hit on Johnny's one piece of advice for what not to do, how to instill confidence in your kids, and how to keep them off those dang phones. Enjoy it, folks, and we'll see you next time.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months' relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
We are back with Johnny Waite. In part one, we talked about obstacles and reframing those so that we can start to embrace them to get the true teachings that they provide. In this episode, I want to pivot and talk about your role as a father. Let's just start. If you had to like summarize your approach to parenting in relation to like social media apps and the phone, like how do you think about that?
Sure. So I'll tell you, I'm a little bit fortunate in that my kids are now almost at an age where they're thinking about having kids. So,
but aren't you a step parent to two as well, though?
Yeah, as well. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. On both counts. Yeah. So okay. my kids. Range both natural and bonus kids from 25 to 17.
Okay.
And so they since they were young have had this thing in their hand, and yet it's only gotten progressively more addictive, right? So a kid mm-hmm. who now has it in their hand for the first time, it's already pretty finely tuned little injectable machine there. And so yeah. but I really do think that the biggest thing is parents who say, man, I can't get my kids off this thing. What are you providing for them as the alternative to that? Because for the most part, kids are treated like little projects. They're treated like, I'm going to turn you into the productive adult human being that I want you to be by making you do all these things that you don't want to do. And trust me, when you get there, it's going to be worth it. Right. And then we protect our kids from every mistake they could make by saying, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Trust me, I made that mistake and I'm going to save you making that mistake. And we sanitize life and take all the joy and the fun of it. And so it's funny because people say kids these days, they're not out playing in the dirt like we were. Well, who's stopping them? We are. Who's not providing the opportunity to do that in the first place? We are. And so we're so committed to this life we've created for us that generally mm-hmm. requires us to trade all of our time and energy for a job that doesn't actually nourish us, that takes us away from this family. And it sounds pretty dark and dreary, but I mean, for the average person, they get up in the morning, they go to a job they don't like, they work at it all day, they come home tired, and then they yell at the kids because they're on their computers too much, and then everyone goes to bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is life for a lot of people. And, you know, and they watch their shows and everything else, and that's fine. But, you know, when we talk about how do we keep kids off these things, what are we providing as an alternative? So, for example, if you're a family who you canoe and hike and camp as often as you can, and even if you are going to that 9-to-5 job, you come home in the evening and you go for a bike ride and the kids are on the back of the bike and then you've got the little attachment bike that you pull behind yeah. them, and then they've got their own little bike they ride beside you. And every weekend that you can, you're getting the canoe and going somewhere. Whatever it is, those kids aren't nearly as likely to be on their phones all the time. Are they going to be off them? No, they are a reality. I mean, that's, and there's a lot of good in it too, in the technology and the connectedness. But it's so funny that people who get so stressed about their kids on it, what are they doing?
They're on it.
You know, how much time are they spending on their yeah. phone? And how excited are they about their life? You know, if they didn't have this job to go to every day that they hated, what would they be doing with their time? I'll tell you yeah. what they'd be doing with their time. They'd be on their phone because that's what they're usually doing in the evening anyway. And so so I'd say the biggest thing is to lead by example and also look and see what kind of alternatives am I creating for my kids, right? So, for example, if your kids and I also have to recognize that there's a socioeconomic assumption that people make. It's like, well, you should just have your kids in 14 sports, which are very expensive.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it was a huge blessing that my kids, I coached them in wrestling, and we were at wrestling practice 3 to 4 nights a week, and we were at tournaments every weekend, and mm-hmm. they weren't on their phone the whole time there. Did they have a phone? Sure. Was it in their gym bag most of the time? Yes. At the end of it, did they get on their phone? Awesome. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
My stepdaughter, you know, does dance. When she's at dance, she's not on her phone. That's fantastic. So are you creating things for them that are more compelling than being on that phone? And if you're not, it's on you, not on them. So I'd say that's the biggest thing. And so many people, you know, have so much more advice than I do about how to monitor it and how to get apps that allow you to control it and program it. But at the end of the day, you just have to look and say, what am I creating as an alternative to that? And how am I leading by example? Because if, and it is kind of funny. I've said to a lot of parents, you know, where they'll say to their kids, you need to understand that I used to have hopes and dreams too, but I have to go to this job so I can provide for your hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what are you programming? A succession of giving up your hopes and dreams the minute you have kids, and then teaching them to give up their hopes and dreams, as opposed to, no, my kids know that I have a bucket list that I just check off. Every time I can bring them with me, that's fantastic. And when I can't, like when I went and climbed a mountain in South America, you know, some people would say, well, that's irresponsible parenting. Your kids, you know, they needed you there. No, they needed their dad to go climb a mountain in South America so they could say, that's what my dad did. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to do. Or when we ran across the Grand Canyon and back, part of my motivation was so that my kids can take their kids and say, your granddad ran all the way across that and back. Doesn't that make you awesome? Not him. Doesn't it make you awesome? And so, I would really turn it back on the parent and say, if your kids are spending all their time on their Xbox or on their phone or doing whatever it is, I'm going to suggest that maybe you never create an environment that gave them more appealing alternatives to that.
Yeah. And I don't mean to, and I agree with a lot of that. The setting the example is a huge part of it. And I don't mean to demonize phones or games. I think, you know, I'm not a gamer, but I know some folks that are. And then phones, you know, my biggest issue with the phones are the social media apps and how it erodes kids' confidence, because you're constantly looking at what other people are doing, and people are going on dates less. They just feel less confident in general. And that just breaks my heart because confidence is such an important part of life and kind of finding your true north. So what are your thoughts on that and like confidence building amongst kids?
Well, it does certainly create a false comparison, right? Because of course you're going to put your best stuff out there for people to see. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said that making a good first impression is the biggest trap in the world. Excuse me. Fortunately, we're far enough into this interview, that's not the first impression. but the idea is, you know, you go on a date and you wear your best clothes and you arrive on time and you order the best thing on the menu and you do all these things to make a great impression. It's never going to be that good again. Right?
Yeah.
Because then you got to be the real you after that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what social media is. Social media is like just, it's everything's a first date. It's like, here's the best me. And it not only erodes the confidence of the kid watching it, the person who's posting all the good stuff, it's actually eroding their confidence as well, because it's creating this bigger and bigger and bigger gap between who they actually know who they are and who they're putting themselves out there to be. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of celebrities who've died who, when you listen to their family afterwards, you say they just couldn't take the pressure of who people saw them as. Heath Ledger, I mean, sexiest man in the world, Hollywood's best actor, blah, 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 saw himself as a very... he was an insecure person who mm-hmm. didn't see himself that way.
Yeah.
And so he was amazing. He was all those things, but unfortunately he didn't see himself that way. And so the more that society shows you how great you're supposed to be, unless you can line that up. So in terms of back to kids. So on the one hand, absolutely. To talk with them about the fact that you realize that this isn't what those people do day in and day out. Like you realize this is a staged, perfect life. And then they go and they have their insecurities and they go and they have their fights with their family and they go and they have all these things too. So that's the first thing, is to understand that that's just a snapshot. But then the other thing is to look and say, hey, if you do feel this gap between what they're doing, what you're doing, what do you want to do more of?
Yeah.
And let's have you do more of that. Because, you know, there will be a lot of people spend a lot of time watching a lot of TikTok, and then they'll go and they'll do that same TikTok so they can be on there. But the biggest thing, and I know I'm shifting a little bit away from kids, but it actually deals directly with kids, is are you going to be a producer in life or a consumer? Because what that box in your hand does is it teaches you to consume. And your guidance counselor teaches you how to get a good job so that you can get a good house, so you can get a good car, so you can get all these things, how to be a good consumer, right? Mm-hmm. And so we think that the only reason to produce is you go and you produce results at your work so you can get paid so you can consume. But at the end of the day, the value in life, like when they're reading your eulogy, do you want them to say, boy, he bought a lot of stuff. Boy, he, right? Or do you want them
hell
to say,
hell of a buyer he was.
Yeah, exactly. Or here's the contribution he made in the world. Ryan was a wrestler. He was a wrestling coach. He had a podcast. He did amazing things for people. He really elevated the people around him. To me, mm-hmm. that's what it's all about. And there's a place to consume. Absolutely. I cannot play music. I've taken so many music lessons. I cannot play music. I go to so many concerts and listen to so much. I love it. I consume it. And I understand that I'm consuming it. And it powers me to then go and produce something.
Yeah.
And I really think that we need kids to understand that the way life actually works is you get rewarded for producing. And what you're learning to do is to consume. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to spend all this time consuming, then you need to go and find something you probably don't even like to do enough of that you get paid enough that you can come back and consume more.
Yeah.
Or say, well, what I actually enjoy doing, how can I produce something in that area? How can I now go out and create something of value in the world? And the other thing with that is if you're doing something you actually enjoy doing, it actually gives you the joy that you think consuming does anyway, so you don't have to spend a whole lot of time consuming. Like when I'm putting on a race, when I'm producing a race, the couple of weeks around that, I'm not buying anything. I'm not watching anything. I'm just out there just loving every minute of climbing this mountain and putting up the signs and building the obstacles and mapping out the route. And I mean, it's fun. And at the end of the day, I've produced something that tens of thousands of people can come and enjoy, and it creates value. And so I get paid for it. But I'm doing it because I love doing it.
It's so, so true, though. So, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, so I would say the biggest lesson, and again, we talked before about reframing. It's all about reframing. It's be a producer, not a consumer. And that comes down to when you wake up in the morning. Most people wake up in the morning, they go, oh, okay, I need some coffee, and then I need to figure out how I'm going to get this day on track. So they've already started in deficit. I need something to get back to neutral. As opposed to waking up and just taking a couple of breaths before you even move and just say, okay, let's take stock here. I'm alive. My fingers seem to be working. My lungs are still working. I'm in surplus. Before the day's even started, I'm in surplus. Do I have some challenges today? Sure. But do I know already that I'm going to get in bed tonight and I'm going to survive the day and everything I do above and beyond that is bonus? Yeah. Awesome. Then I'm in surplus. So I can now go out and produce. And even something as simple as, if you ask the average person, is interest in a financial sense a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, it's a bad thing. Well, no, it's not a bad thing. It's a neutral. If you have excess money, you lend it out, interest is the best thing in the world, right? Yeah. Or if you invest, interest is great. If you're always in debt, interest is bad. And that's the whole idea of being a consumer. Well, interest is terrible. Being a producer, interest is great. Reframe everything. But when we're so busy out there trying to carve out this money in a job we don't like so we can buy a car that we really need to get back and forth to the job that we then come home to the house that we don't actually love that much anyway, that we just sleep in, or look at it all and say, okay, what actually is a intentional, meaningful, purposeful, rewarding life that I want to create? And then when I bring kids into this world, how can I then demonstrate to them and have conversations with them? And I would say that's one of the biggest things I did right as a parent was I actually had adult conversations with my children, and I didn't shield them from every little thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And, as soon as they were at an age, like I would say 12 years old, my only rule became do whatever you want to do because you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, there's caveats to that. Don't hurt people. Don't do anything that's going to hurt you. But, the idea that I would have rules, what they could and couldn't do, that they had to do their homework. Let's have a conversation about it. If you don't do your homework, this is going to happen. If you do your homework, this is going to happen. You right. decide, and in the end they did it, but not because I was making them do it. And so, the minute you start treating your kids as humans and having conversations with them about bigger picture things, but again, what conversations you're having with yourself? Like if you're not even taking the time to read the books that are going to then inform your thought processes that you can better educate your kids. And then you're mad about the time they're wasting on TikTok instead of what? Watching you watch TV. So, yeah,
that's kind of, I'm glad you said that because to me, like part one, episode one of our conversation was, all right, what's one of the biggest causes of stress? Obstacles. How do we get over them? We reframe them. And there's ways to practice reframing obstacles via fitness.
Yeah.
And then part two is, I really wanted your thoughts on how to just improve like confidence, or if someone's listening to as a kid who says, man, they're just not that confident, or they're just not doing much. Really, to me, it all comes back to a lack of self-confidence. And you're someone who has gone through the peaks and valleys. And I really was just wanting to ask, what's the Johnny Waite approach to improving confidence in kids? And, you know,
the very short answer to that is create an environment and opportunities that are going to give them an opportunity to build that confidence. So to just tell a kid, hey, you're great. Hey, you're great. Hey, you're great. Doesn't build confidence, because then when they go out and they're not great, they feel like they're letting dad down, right? Yeah. Or to say, I'm just going to drive them so hard that they become good at it. Well, no, that isn't going to do either. It's honestly saying, hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to be good at? Let's go do it. You know, skateboarding? Great, let's go skateboard. But also having them understand that the idea that there's somewhere they have to get to, that they have to be Tony Hawk to be a good skateboarder, or they have to be whoever they have to be, whatever. At the end of the day, are you being a good person? Then everything else is a bonus. And to realize that, you know, we do live in a culture that really values number one. What, Ricky Bobby? What, second's just the first loser? but the idea is, you know, there are a whole lot of second, third, fourth place people on a wrestling team. You know, I was probably the third on the depth chart at my weight at my university wrestling team. Mm-hmm. I was never going to beat that guy at number one, no matter how hard I tried. He just was more naturally gifted and a better wrestler. That was just the bottom line. Did that make me a bad person? No. Did that make me worthless? No. Did that mean I shouldn't work as hard as I could? No. Did it not mean that every time I wrestled against him, I could get better than I was before? Absolutely. So if I took my self-worth on, I'm not even number one on the team, let alone number one in the country, well, then of course you're going to feel like shit. But I, you know, our back to our so what conversation before. So here's my skill level. So I'm going to work as hard as I can to improve it. And I'm not going to use somebody else as a benchmark for how good I am. So if we can just cut through all that bullshit cultural drumbeat of this is what matters, and actually talk to our kids about what does matter, and find out what interests them and engage in that with them, then we're going to find out that they'll develop confidence a lot faster than us just telling them they're great, or giving them something and saying, if you do this, you'll be great. Mm-hmm. Those are the two traps.
And it comes back to the person or the parent, you know, knowing that themselves, which hopefully we shed a tiny, tiny light on that in the first part. Johnny Waite, I just want to wind down with this, sir. What is the worst advice you constantly hear parents giving to kids?
I'll tell you, a real good friend of ours, I won't rat him out, but a good friend of you and me both, asked me one time, we were running in the UK before a race, and he said, hey, you're a little further headed than I am in the kid game. You know, I've got a couple of kids now. What's the best parenting advice you can give me? And I said, never pit your kids against one another. Never make this one feel less because that one did more. And he looked at me and went, well, that horse is out of the barn. What else? so that's the worst parenting advice. You know, I would say that the worst thing we can say to our kids is the whole suck it up. Suck it up. Don't cry. Boys don't cry. You know, things like that. At the end of the day, it's hey, why do you feel that way? That is a much, much better question than stop feeling that way. A way better conversation is, hey, why do you feel that way? So stop telling your kids not to feel what they feel. Stop telling your kids that they're wrong. Start asking your kids why they feel the way they feel and why they're doing the things they're doing. And once you really understand what's behind it, then you can help them to improve it. But you know, the worst advice you can give your kids is stop being you.
Respect. Johnny Waite, thank you very much, sir. It's been fun to flip the script and get some of your knowledge out there, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it too.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months' relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and Laruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics, to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time.